She had written that down somewhere. I think it's important for us to kind of hear the names of those that are newer to our congregation. As they're handing out notes here tonight for this Going Deeper in God series, I want you to mention that those that came to the newcomers' luncheon here that could make it included Armando del Loera and Crystal Oakley, Grady and Barbara Brodus, who normally are sitting over here, and then Nancy Taylor's right over here. We also had Debbie Clifton right back there. And we had Luke and Joey Hatley hear us as well. Jamie Borrowman's the one we prayed for tonight, that's in the hospital today, so we're praying for her. She has three children. Tom and Bobby Joe Chapman came. Michael and Linda Wasson right back here. We appreciate you guys being there as well. And then also William and Yoli Lenz that are newlyweds. They also were here for newcomers lunch. We had like 7 to 10 that could not make it here for other reasons, whatever. And so we appreciate you guys that helped us out. They helped get the food together. Made that a meaningful event for us as well. Then also, Connie Kirkland mentioned there's a ministry here called SOS Program, which actually sometimes meets the physical needs of the community. So that's you can go on to Austin Ridge Bible Church's website or call them on the telephone, and they'll give you more information about this SOS Program, or else you can talk to Connie Kirk, and she'll give you more details about that as well. All right? So you have your notes here. This could be kind of like what I call the semi-last message here on Going Deeper in God. I'm already just kind of praying about next week, is for sure our last Wednesday of a series like this before we have this time where the men and women go upstairs and downstairs. And I'm really considering some things to do next Wednesday night as well. I really would like to have some people, have you exposed to some of the folks we also support in this church for outreach. This is a real key time right now for the church to not put a stranglehold on outreach ministries. You'd be amazed at how much has been cut off of the giving of people for outreach ministries. And that includes the storehouse, and that includes the homeless ministries like Church Under the Bridge. It includes our missionaries as well. And so I want to have these folks sometimes share with us also some things that they're doing here and be able to impact the community. You know, I've seen how God does miracles in times of famine, in times of decrease for outreach ministries, because God loves the poor, the needy, and wants to see them helped out through us. But what's happening here also is sometimes finances and money and things come to us easily and quickly, it seems like, in times of prosperity. But it takes more faith, it takes more prayer sometimes, it takes more listening, and it takes more, almost not authority, but it takes more aggression to keep on seeing that flow happen in times of decrease. But the promise still remains the same. God will still give us prosperity in the time of famine, the time of decrease. So tonight's about receiving the blessings and the favor of God, because for us to go deeper in God in 2012, we must be those who believe we are blessed. We have got God's favor on our side and with us. And we're going to see tonight some things about God's favor, first of all. Then we're going to talk about the very end of this part of this service about God's blessings as well. We talked about yokes, first of all, how God helps us to see yokes broken off of us, and that any yoke the enemy's put on us has already been paid, the price been paid to get that yoke broken off of us. And again, we want to see that easy yoke of Jesus Christ put on us. I pray to God that on Sunday morning, as I spoke here about shame, a lot of you guys were set free from shame. We might have had that in your lives. And also folks around you as well that might be bound by shame will have shame no longer. Don't let the devil beat you over the head with your past and things you've done to fail in life. Realize again, those are all under the blood of Jesus Christ. God has no memory of it whatsoever, so why should you? Because you're not better than God, okay? So forgive yourself as well and move on. Don't let shame grip your life. I then talked about also being positioned for success, and then also we talked about looking for fresh oil in this season, this 2012 beginning of the year, and having the fresh oil of God, getting an oil change by the Holy Spirit, because we do leak, our viscosity does sometimes break down, and that thickness of God's presence, God's grace, and God's love is not always as strong, it doesn't seem like, as it was 30,000 miles ago, okay? So we need oil changes, and that's why it says be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't just get filled one time, but be being filled. That verb's there in the Greek language actually says that, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. One day, one week won't do you. It takes every single day in God's presence, and God will give us abundant supply for that as well. Okay, we're going to look in your notes here. I got a few blank spots for those that are newer here tonight as well to kind of follow along and fill those out. I encourage you guys to try to find at some point, get a clipboard or get a notebook and put these notes in there. Go back and refer to some of these things in the future. and be listening here. I want to try to get some feedback tonight as well, if we have time for this also. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1, talking about the favor of God. It says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. How many folks know that Adolf Hitler was very rich, but his name is mud? Nobody names their child Adolf in America. Nobody names their animals Hitler, because that name has been ruined for the whole time until Jesus Christ comes back. So might be wealthy, might be rich, might have power, might have authority for a season, but the name has been totally ruined and drugged through the mud. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Loving favor rather than silver and gold. That's why God was so impressed by King Solomon, because King Solomon, whenever God says, what do you want me to do for you? I'll give it to you. He says, don't give me riches or don't give me honor. All I want to do is have, I want wisdom to rule and govern your people in Israel. And then God said, because you sought first my kingdom first and my people's well-being first, all the things you did not ask for, like honor and power and glory and riches, will come to you automatically because you sought my kingdom first, what he was kind of saying to him. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 15 says, in the light of the king's face there is life, and his favor is like a cloud of the latter rain. Latter rain, of course, is that rain that comes once the fields have been mowed and cut. And now there's just kind of stubble there. The farmers need for rain to fall for the next harvest to soften the ground up, to kind of plow the stubble under and replant new seed, that seed may germinate because the ground is now moist and soft, prepared to receive the next harvest, an abundant harvest in the next season. So God's saying here is, when favor comes on you, God will always make sure your heart is prepared for future harvest. Not just today's harvest, but harvest perpetually on and on and on. And also, notice it says here, in the light of the king's face. That's why I always encourage the congregation and myself, don't just seek the hand of God, but seek the face of God. Seek his smile, seek his countenance, praise his name, worship him, spend time with him, just love him with all your heart. Seek his face, and his hand will always come when you seek his face automatically. Amen? God's hand will be there. So, other scriptures tell us that the favor of God will also make us the head and not the tail. The Bible says also favor will cause us to be planted like a tree by living waters, and the leaf we have will not fade, will not wither, will not go into autumn season. It says your fruit shall break forth in proper season. How many folks know whenever the orange crop comes in too early in Florida, the freeze comes and kills the whole thing? And so it says your fruit will come out at the right season. So God will give you exaltation, the right job, the right husband, wife, the right things take place in your life in the right season, not the wrong season. Then it goes on and says also that those who have favor, whatsoever you do is going to prosper when God's favor is upon you. Psalm 44, verse 3 says, for they did not gain possession of the land by their own sword, nor did their own arm save them, but it was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your countenance, because you favored them. Now, God also wants us to realize that Israel was promised Canaan land before they stepped one step into that. He said, all this land of milk and honey, I've already given it to you. And so it was given to them by promise and by prophecy, but it was not given to them in what's called experientially. They had not yet put one foot in the land, because to go take Canaan land meant to fight giants, face obstacles, have the manna cut off, and see themselves growing their own crops, having their own herds, till the land themselves. God didn't mention all those things to them. He simply said, I'm going to give you all the land of Canaan by faith, by prophecy, by vision, but experientially, you must cross the Jordan River and you must fight the giants yourself to possess that land for the Lord. Luke chapter 1, verse 28, it says, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, which is Mary, the mother of Jesus. The Lord is with you. You're blessed, and you're blessed among all women. So the word favor there also, rejoice, highly favored one. Jesus Christ has made us worthy. He's made us righteous and has made us joint heirs with him by a legal, the word legal goes to that first blank spot, by a legal transaction. And so because God is righteous and God's a just judge. God does things even legally to secure things for us in a righteous way. So already God's given us through Jesus Christ, he's given us worth, he's given us righteousness, right standing. He's also made us to become joint heirs with Jesus Christ, which means whatever Jesus has, he's also given us access to that ourselves. One of the things, again, the Bible says that marveled Jesus was the people's unbelief. And Jesus still marvels even today that we walk in unbelief. He says, look at the 5 loaves, the 2 fish for divine provision. Look at the blind man getting his eyesight back for divine miracles. Look at all those lepers who were cleansed and healed of their own illness and infirmities there for divine healing. Look at all the ways I provided for my own disciples time and time again for them. God was showing us through Jesus Christ, he's made a legal transaction for us that there should be no lack in our lives on an ongoing basis. Now, all of us go through seasons of the winter and reversal and things not quite going exactly right in life, but those will not last for long. I'm going to remind you again, Psalm 23 says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, walk through it, I will fear no evil, and goodness and mercy is going to follow me every day of my life. You know, Cheryl and I have been married for 30 years now, and we've gone through some valleys in different areas of our life. Not so much marriage. We've always loved each other. We haven't used the word divorce against each other at all in 30 years. We've used the word kick, scratch, stab, shoot. I'm just kidding. But we haven't used that D word. But we have had just things there of finances and things with children and things with sickness and things, just of relational issues and so forth. There's valleys we go through ourselves, but I've always seen how God's goodness and God's mercy is always right there with us, right in the middle of valleys. Sometimes I almost got perplexed and wondered, now, why can't I actually want the luxury of feeling depressed here, God. Can I just kind of feel depressed? And it's like God would just kind of come down on me by your prayers, by prayers of folks around me, by God's goodness and mercy being there. I would feel a supernatural peace that passes all human understanding right when I should be feeling depressed or angry, perplexed, or just overwhelmed. God's peace was there. And God does work through peace. Amen. Your circumstances may not look favored, but don't let your present condition dictate your faith in God's presence and God's love for you. No matter what you're going through in life, in bad circumstances, God's favor and God's love does not diminish in your life at all. You must believe that by faith, because you may not feel that at all. You cannot go by feelings with God. You must go by faith on what God's word says, by past experiences there, by folks around you, their testimonies. God is faithful. Let every man be a liar, but God is true in what he says, and God will see us through. Now, tonight, again, is not going to be a heavy teaching with depth of Hebrew and Greek lexicon type exegesis. It's going to be more of a faith-building, faith-talking impartation night. And so listen up closely and take down some notes as well tonight, because I believe something tonight will be said is going to take and trigger some things in your life that's going to bring you into a place of higher levels and deeper measures with the Lord, those who have ears to hear what God is saying to us. God decrees that you are blessed, and God decrees that you are highly favored of the Lord. Don't worry about your present circumstances. Those things are still yes and amen for all those who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. David said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Goodness gives you what you don't deserve. Mercy spares you from what you do deserve. So understand those two things. Goodness gives you what you don't deserve, but mercy will spare you from what you do deserve. And I praise God for God's mercy, because all of us probably deserve to be away from God, to be spanked by God, to be sometimes even beaten up by angels. But because of God's mercy, he holds back the angels and causes things of blessing to come on us. And like I said on Sunday morning, the Bible even says his kindness actually leads us to repentance in times of sin, backsliding, and evil. And you know, whenever somebody, again, you see someone turn away from God and go back into some of their old habits and some of their old flesh ways, perhaps in their Christian walk, that is not time for us to judge them, condemn them, and heap fire and abuse and hellfire on them. It's time for us to be like Jesus Christ, who showed himself in the prodigal son parable, to be there praying for them, standing with them, and believing God that what you're going through right now, you're going through it. This will not be the final outcome of your life. And I'm here for you, brother or sister, unconditionally, to be there with you when you start seeing yourself making decisions to come back more towards God, the body of Christ, and so forth. So David says this, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'm going to try to answer tonight briefly, what does favor look like? What qualifies me for favor? How do I keep the qualities of favor in my life? And what will favor do to me when I receive it? So here's the thing we're going to try to answer these next 25 minutes here. Number one, favor can bring sudden and unlimited prosperity into your life. Now, again, I'm not into any kind of a hyper-prosperity type of a doctrine myself in life, but I do know throughout the entire Word of God, every person God brought divine favor to began to prosper automatically. They just began being in the right place, right time, where things took place to bring financial breakthroughs to them in their lives. Proverbs 10:22 verifies this. It says, the blessing of the Lord, favor of God, makes one rich. Now, what's that word rich mean in the Greek language? It means rich. And he adds, notice this, he adds no sorrow with it. We've all seen the stories of lottery winners who have been people that were already abusing life, abusing drugs or alcohol or whatever else, and they win the lottery, and now they can magnify their vices. They don't become a better person. They don't become wiser in life. They actually get more and more destructive because now they got the money to pay for their habits and pay for their wrong character and so forth. And so it says, God adds no sorrow to the riches he actually brings to you. That's why God will watch you and says, those that are faithful in little things, I'm going to give you much in due time, because God knows much will destroy you if much is not matched with divine godly character along with it. Amen? You got to realize that people are not the most righteous and godly when they're the most poor. They're not the most righteous and godly when they're rich. They're more so like that when they're the most needy in life. Because those that get very, very rich and wealthy have a great temptation to say, well, I don't really need God now. I've got a 401k plan, retirement plan. I can live on my interest. Everything's paid for and paid off. I don't really need God that much. And so they start slipping and sliding sometimes in temptation to totally turn their backs on God, neglect the Lord, and rely upon their own savings accounts and their own security and their own future in a natural, fleshly type way. And that's why James warns us time and again. It says those that are rich in this life must beware of temptations that can really trip them up and cause them to become ineffective for God's kingdom in the life. James also says, haven't I given the poor to be rich in faith in this life? Because the poor can't afford insurance. The poor don't have access to the greatest hospitals in the nations. And the poor can't do things that rich people can do. So they got to rely upon faith and God's intervention to see their babies and their children healed and taken care of and fed and eating food. And praise God again, that does not have to be the case with us. If we can learn some character things in the lean times, that can carry us through in the rich times. Paul the Apostle said, I've learned to be abased and I've learned to have a whole lot, but I've also learned to be content in any state I am in. And Paul was the same man, whether he had millions in the bank or he only had 10 cents in the bank. He was still the same man for Jesus Christ. It's what God wants in our lives. Exodus chapter 12, it says that God gave the Israelites favor, the whole nation. So it says when they left Egypt, it says the Egyptians, God tells them, as you leave Egypt now to go across the Red Sea towards Canaan land, ask the Egyptians for goods and riches as you leave. And the Bible says because the favor of God and the fear of God was on those Egyptians, they began to heap on them gold jewelry, silver jewelry, diamonds, emeralds, rubies, and all things that were used to build the temple in the future. There was purple embroidered things and so forth given to them. They plundered the Egyptians leaving there because God's favor was on them. The fact also was that after 430 years of being in slavery and being impoverished, God gave them all their back pay in one day. 430 years of being ripped off was paid back in one day as they left Egypt. The same thing is true for you and I. Anything the devil has stolen from us in the past, he must pay it back. The Bible says even sevenfold of everything he's stolen from us in the past. Amen? And that also means time, days, weeks, months, and years, peace, all these things. Satan must pay these things back. When the thief is found out, the Bible says, he then must repay sevenfold. One thing I'm hearing this year very, very strongly is the devil is not being found out in our lives sometimes. There's still some keys in some of our lives as to why we're not seeing some breakthroughs take place. It could be in the realms of relationships, future spouse. It could be finances. It could be a healing for your body. There is very many, many, many times there's a key there that's not being revealed to you. Satan is blinding some part of your life somehow, some way there. And it might be unforgiveness. It might be anger. It might be pride. It might be gossiping. It might be criticism, critical spirit. Those things are all things that give the devil a legal ground to blind you in one area of your life that holds back the key to the breakthrough for your life. And so I'm believing God that 2012 is a year where the light of God, the Bible says in Isaiah 61, arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And he's got healing in his wings when he rises up. So I'm praying everything in darkness comes to light and God starts revealing things to us. That's just kind of something that came on me right now just to speak that out. And I want you to catch that and ride that and run with that as well. The Bible says when Ruth, the Moabitess, entered the field of Boaz, the favor of God caused him, Boaz, to notice her. Now, of course, she was beautiful. She was very, very good looking. That also helped. But also there's something about her in the spiritual realm that God caused her to look at her. And that's what the favor of God does. God will cause favor to come on you to the point where people will somehow, some way in the spiritual realm recognize you, take a note of you, and they'll actually have a desire to get to know you better, so forth and so on. And then God will use them to bring forth some great realms of fruitfulness for your life and destiny as well by that favor. Ruth had that take place with Boaz. The Bible says in Ruth chapter 2, he then tells the harvesters around Ruth, he says, go ahead and take this Moabitess woman and cut down some sheaves of grain and bundle them up and lay them in front of her face. Give her handfuls of blessings on purpose. Now, the poor folks in Israel's culture back in this day, the Bible says, you guys that have crops and grain and so forth, you leave the fringes for all the poor folks to come and get a little bit of scraps to live on day by day and survive. Just do that. That's what God says as alms to the poor. What God says to Ruth is, don't give her the scraps. You cut down sheaves of grain that are stacked about 3 feet high, lay them right in front of her face so she can't miss them, and she'll have handfuls of blessings given to her on purpose. The favor of God takes you out of survival mode into the realm of prosperity and the realm of increase every time. Amen? And so your note says, next of all, it's the favor of God that gave Esther. Esther's name goes there, Esther. The favor of God gave Esther her position as the king's wife. Now, of course, Esther also was very beautiful. But the Bible says that they came from all dozens and dozens of villages to compete for the job to be the next queen over, was that Assyria? Or was that Persia? It was Persia, right? It was Persia. And so this king was trying to find the right wife, and for some reason God's favor came on Esther. And so because God's favor came on her, he saw her, he liked her, he loved her, and he said, you're going to be my wife. Not only was she exalted to become his wife, but the Bible says in due time she actually caused Haman, who put an edict on all the Jews to kill them on a certain date, she caused him to have his head get hung on the same gallows he built for the uncle whose name was Mordecai. That's right. I thought that was Mordecai. And so he didn't get hung, but Haman got hung. And also all the people in Haman's household also were killed by the sword. And Esther's enemies were all cut off. She was exalted. Israel was exalted. And the favor came upon the entire nation, not just Esther, because of God's blessing in her life. So you see, if God's favor comes on a local church, upon leadership, any shape, form, or fashion, all the people that are with them also come under God's favor and God's blessings. Increase happens for the whole bunch, not just for one or two people. Number two, favor can bring resentment and adversity. How many folks know that one of the biggest forces of destruction and evil in life is a thing called jealousy? I learned this about 20 years at least ago, that I learned that Jell-O is made from ground up calves and cow hooves. That's where gel comes from. And so when they grind up, that's why when you eat Jell-O, it's high in fiber. It's probably very good for you. And you'll do a great, good job on your body. And so just eat a lot of Jell-O sometimes. You'll have a real good fiber treatment there. But it is ground up calves' hooves and ground up cow's hooves, okay? And it's not bad for you. You probably need that once in a while. It's one thing you don't get very often when you eat steak. Okay. So anyway, what I'm trying to say is the word jealousy comes from the root word gel. And the Bible says, I think in Proverbs, it says, who can stand before jealousy? Jealousy. Grinding the hoof of a cow makes a cow fall down. We bulls wobble, but we don't fall down. It makes the cow fall down. Amen? And so Jell-O is talking about grinding the hoof of a cow, has nothing left to stand on. Jealousy brings people down like nothing else. And females, especially for some reason, females have a real problem tonight with jealousy. I'm saying rejoice. The Bible said rejoice with those who rejoice and give praise and honor to those who deserve that in life, because your turn is going to come in due time. Amen? Do not let that green-eyed devil named jealousy grip your life any shape, form, or fashion. We see this with Joseph. We know that Joseph had a coat of many colors. He was honored by his dad. He was born in his dad's older years. His dad loved him more than all the other kids. His dad was unwise and showed favoritism to him. And so his brothers saw that and began to hate him for that. He made the mistake, Joseph did, of sharing his dream that he had about them bowing down to him. He shared that dream with them. And the Bible says they hated him all the more and could not speak a peaceable word to him after he shared the dream with them. Not a good idea. You're going to find that it's not very wise to share your dream with folks who are in a lesser position than you're in, not quite as successful perhaps as you're going through in life, and have not achieved as much as you've achieved in life. Don't share your dreams with those who are not ahead of where you want to be at. Share your dreams with those who are already where you want to be. Don't share it with folks that are still trying to claw their way, perhaps sometimes in a position there that you may have yourself. Just don't do that. It's not usually very wise. The Bible says Mary was favored by God and gave birth to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, because she was favored by God. Then the time goes by, and the Bible says she's almost dumped by her future husband because she thinks she's got an illegitimate child now, and all kind of talks going around Bethlehem about how this guy, how she's gotten pregnant before she got married. That's not very popular back in that era of Israel. And then as time goes by, the people hear him preach in Nazareth and don't like what he's saying. It says they lead him out to the edge of a cliff to throw him off the brow of a hill. That's right there in Mary's hometown. She's not very popular with her son right there in that situation. Then some more time goes by, and she sees her own son baptized in blood on a cross, in shame, no clothing, crown of thorns on his head, being spit on, being mocked, being beaten, being slapped, and being called a heretic, a cult leader, and a person who's actually full of the devil, not full of God. And all these things, Mary sees this, and she's called by God, highly favored of the Lord. Realize that favor will bring to you also resentment and adversity, and sometimes from the closest people in your household. Again, I want to use a lottery again as an example. I've seen stories sometimes how lottery winners lose almost all their friends, and sometimes even close family members turn their back on them because of resentment and jealousy that takes place in their lives. We happen to see, Cheryl and I saw this show for like 10 minutes last week about, it's called Lottery Winners. I want to kind of see what those guys went through on this show. And I was impressed to see that two lottery winners on this program that won over $25 million each, they actually were wise and brought all their family together, began their own businesses out there in ranch land someplace, put them all to work, and they all worked together and pooled the funds together and started doing outreaches and ministries and started helping the poor out and feeding folks and doing things with golf courses and doing folks with handicapped kids. And these guys said, we love our winnings. They've been a blessing to us. We have no curse from this. We're closer now together as a family. They don't live now. They don't live in Maine and Michigan and Florida. We all live in one place together, close together now. And we all love life. The money's been used to help others and help ourselves, and so they were blessed from that. So I'm saying again, otherwise, resentment and adversity can still come in when favor happens. Okay, so moving on. The devil will always bring adversity to a potential threat. The word threat goes in that blank spot. As soon as Satan sees you're threatening his kingdom, he will always attack you at the weakest point of your life. And that's why, again, I tell you guys, if you're ever given a position here on the platform and the worship team, as head usher, financial board member, elder, whatever else, Satan always sees positions of authority as a threat to his kingdom. He will try to make sure you get offended or have something happen to you at the wrong time, in the wrong place, in your weakest area, and try to get you full of bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, and offense, and try and take you out if he can do that. I'm saying choose right now not to be a victim of that. Recognize Satan's schemes. Don't be unaware of his schemes, and resist him at every turn in the road. When God gives you a favor in your life that brings sometimes exaltation, authority, and so forth. Moving on here, God will use adversity to test us and try you and to form in you the faith and the character to give you longevity. The word character goes in that blank spot. God allows adversity to take place in your life to give you more character, more faith, to give you also a thing called longevity in your life, because God is the author and also the finisher of your faith. You know, Bill Johnson, again, that conference we went to back in a few months ago in California, that must have been November or so last year. Bill Johnson also made a very, very powerful statement there where he says, God works so redemptively in negative situations in your life, it'll actually appear that God brought the adversity and bad thing on you. He works so redemptively with bad things in your life, it'll appear that God brought the bad thing on you to begin with. Understand, Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. You don't get cancer from God. You don't get car crashes from God, okay? Those are either your error or it's the devil working against you. But God will work out your bad thing so redemptively, it'll appear God brought the bad thing on you to begin with. And so understand again, don't blame God for bad things in your life. Blame the devil or blame yourself, but don't blame God. But do believe God that God's going to take this bad thing in my life and bring something redemptive out of it as only he can do. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 says, Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing was happening to you. God knows how to somehow allow pressure to come inside your life to get you back on course or strengthen your faith or build your character for longevity in your life. Number three is, how do we qualify for the favor of God? Well, the main thing we do here, of course, is obedience to God's word will qualify us for favor in God. Now, that may be only five little simple words, but I'm telling you right now, obedience to God is not easy. Obeying what God says is not a simple, easy thing, because what God does is the more mature you become in God, the more he's going to ask of you. He'll start telling you, don't talk so fast, about people. Don't have that attitude at your workplace. You don't have the luxury more to be depressed around unbelievers. Put that shopping cart back in that holder there at HEB. Take the worst parking spot over there at JCPenney's. Let the older ladies there get the ones that are closer to the door there and have faith in God. You can walk through the rain yourself, and God's grace will be on you to walk in the rain further, and let the old crippled folks walk closer to the door there at your parking lot. I'm just saying God will fine-tune you the more mature you get in him. And obeying God's word, God's voice, is not an easy thing in your life. I'll promise you that. But God's grace will be there when you do obey. Moving on, chapter 28, verse 1, Deuteronomy says, Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. The question is, can God trust us with favor? Because again, favor brings blessing, brings increase, brings prosperity, and God says, can he trust you with that kind of favor? We've seen again in Hollywood, these guys have favor by their giftings and their talents, but most of these guys can't handle the favor put on them by mankind. We see them getting more and more proud, more arrogant. They go through multiple divorces. They go through just all kinds of hassles in life, and they become prima donnas, because they become narcissistic very many times, and they become a person that's kind of like a monster almost. I mean, I heard about this one celebrity that we all, if I told you his name, you'd know who he was. He's on many, many shows. He's in his 60s right now, many movies that are blockbusters. This guy's in his 60s. He lives down in San Antonio, Texas. And I heard how a little innocent person came to him one day at an HEB grocery store and said, Can I please have your autograph, sir? And this guy snapped back in an angry, foul voice and said, If I wanted to sign autographs, I'd go back in the corner and sign them. Get out of my face. I mean, this guy now that's been made rich and famous by the public, and he treats the public kind of like that now, just kind of becoming a kind of narcissistic type person in life. So God's saying to us, can we handle the favor that's put on us? Last of all, number four, there is a difference between being blessed and being favored by God. The word blessed is a specific spoken. The word spoken goes there, impartation. Blessings take place by speaking and a spoken thing by God or by His word or by people that are Christians in life. The word favored, though, is a relationship with God that results from that spoken blessing. And so you actually speak a blessing on yourself when you repent of your sins. When you say, Father God, I can't save myself. Forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. You're invoking a blessing on yourself because God listens to you. God takes your sin from you. God comes in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then God's favor comes on you. And all of a sudden, handfuls of blessings on purpose are coming your way as a brand new convert for Jesus Christ. You've all experienced that honeymoon stage. And God doesn't want the honeymoon stage to end. He wants to bring increase to us even more so beyond that as our lives go on. Luke chapter 1, 28, going back to that same verse again. It says, and having come in, the angel said to Mary, it said, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. The blessing is a divine impartation of God into a human life by the spoken word of a spiritual authority. That big long line there is two words, spiritual authority. The blessing is a divine impartation of God into a human life by the spoken words of a spiritual authority. Have you ever seen people take and sometimes even cry and weep when prophets, prophetesses accurately declare words over people in services like this? It's because their spirit man is being blessed. There's a blessing being loosed. They're confirming in their own hearts what the prophet says is true. It rings true in them, and it brings forth a release and a graciousness, and just a blessing is there that even brings forth tears sometimes. It is such a thing, a blessing for a person's life. It's by a spiritual authority. It's a divine impartation, and it's from God Himself to a person who needs to hear those words. An example of biblical blessing is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, when God told Adam to be fruitful and to multiply. This blessing annihilates unemployment and barrenness. He says, be fruitful and multiply. That means you got to have a job, you got to have a wife, and have kids. You can't be fruitful and multiply if you're unemployed and you're barren. So that means God's already taken care of barrenness and unemployment. He said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply. Then God goes on and says to Adam, God also said to subdue the earth. This is a mandate for spiritual warfare, enduring hardness as a good soldier. Being in warfare, it's a foundation of our country to be in spiritual warfare, but also God's telling us, be in spiritual warfare and subdue even things that come against your own children in life. I am already praying every day for the baby being formed in Kristen's womb. There's a big battle over the firstborn. I found this to be true in people all across the entire face of the earth. And so I declare that Kristen and Jeremy's firstborn is blessed. Its whole body is being formed perfectly. His mind is being drawn towards Jesus Christ at a very young age. There's peace on that child's life and upon that pregnancy. Everything's being formed right. She'll have a full-term pregnancy there. I'm rebuking morning sickness, and I'm saying all these things of peace and grace and blessing shall overcome her, overwhelm her. I pray the same thing for Daniel, for Kristen, for Sarah, being formed in Cheryl's womb, and God honored that with all three babies. They were all full-term babies. They were all born healthy there, and things take place as years go by, but I'm saying they all began their lives in a great way of blessing. God's favor, God's grace was there, and we need to be praying for our children, not just in pregnancy, but actually beyond that as well, on a daily basis, be praying specific things of warfare over your children's lives in Jesus' name. Last of all, God also told Adam and Eve to take dominion. Dominion goes in that blank spot. If we're going to go deeper in God this year, we need to put into practice divine commands, divine decrees, and divine proclamations. That's subduing things, having dominion over things. And so God is saying, use your mouth, use your faith to declare things with God's grace. Last of all, Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, it says, and if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed, and you're then heirs according to the promise. What's the promise? Read in your Bible sometime, chapter 12 of Genesis, and you'll find that there's promises there about the blessing of Abraham, what God declares over Abraham there in the Old Testament, he declares over us today in our lives. So read that yourself sometime for your homework assignment. I'm going to stop right there. I'm talking tonight about favor primarily, but also blessings. Next week, we're going to come back together again. I'm going to talk a little bit more about blessings perhaps, and I'm going to also be praying about some things that we're going to be doing next week, be exposed to next week, that'll be, I believe, a blessing to us. Does anybody here have any